And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church. What, came the word of God out from you, or came it unto you only? If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord.
All right, verse 35. I remember yesterday or last week we talked about 34, that the woman is silent in the church, these people. And this verse 35, it says, man, the end of the law, not to speak. So we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 35. They're going to learn, I think, who are they to ask if they're married women? They fall. Their husbands, that's right. The husbands should tell them what they think they're about.
What's the page here?
1 Corinthians 14 and verse 35. 14, 35. And then verse 35 talks about asking their husbands, why is that the way to go in verse 35, the last part of that verse? Why does it say that? Any hands in there? Any hands in the last part of verse 35? What is true? Why should they ask their husband at home? The last part of verse 35. Yeah, Bill.
That is, they're not supposed to speak in the church.
Right.
Right. Now, it seems to be that it's a practice in Corinth, and probably in the services, not to be speaking of preachers. Women preachers are many today, and many of them around, but shouldn't have that at all. And they should ask their husbands in some of the details. And don't interrupt the service and try to ask, that's what I think, take this to be, ask questions right in front of the whole situation. But just pause, the husbands and the wives are both there at the same service, and ask the question, what do they mean? See, that's what to do.
Well,
yes, Linda.
One time, weren't women, they weren't allowed to speak out in public or say what they feel in general?
Well, yeah, that's true. The women are not speaking. In Israel, in the Israelite groups, that's right, they're supposed to be male dominated, so that works out that way. Any other comments on that verse? A lot of churches don't follow that. Are there any women preachers in churches today?
Yes.
Hundreds, thousands of them all over this country, all over the world, and it's a sad thing. Now, I wonder why that is. God does not want women preachers and leaders in the church. Ellen?
God made women to have babies and families.
Mm-hmm. And he made Adam first, and then from Adam, made Eve. And the husbands are supposed to be the ones in charge of the home.
Right. Whether you agree with it or not, that's how God made it.
That's right.
Man was to be the leader, the head.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and a woman would follow him.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why the women would be silent in the church, and they would ask their husbands at home, you know, about, you know, if they had a question about something where they didn't understand.
Yes. Now, in the New Testament, what are some of the qualifications of the pastor, bishop, elder that leave completely out the women? Yes.
The husband of one wife.
That's right. And that means, it's one of the qualifications. If she's a woman, she's not the husband of one wife.
Right.
Unless there's a lesbian in the situation, but that's not.
That's
the old devil. That's not in the scriptures at all. Paul?
Oh, I was going to ask you, but I forgot what it was.
Oh, okay. Maybe I'll come to you a little bit later. Okay. So, there's a lot of different qualifications in scripture. We've got to follow those if we're scripturally sound. Okay. That was verse 35. Now, verse 36. Why is this question asked, and what is the question in verse 36? Questions at vftbc.org or 856-261-908. What is the question asked in verse 36? Any hands on it?
Well, it's basically, to sum it up, he's saying, did the word of God come from you, or was it only for you?
Mm-hmm.
The answer is no, it didn't come from man, and it wasn't only for that individual person, mm-hmm. It was for all born again believers.
Now, in the New Testament, did the Lord call any women apostles.
No.
No. They took the disciples, and they were males, and he called those apostles. That's the way it works. And no women at all. Now, not to say the women are nothing at all in the eyes of the Lord, but in the churches, he wants the males, the men, to be leaders in all that is done, and the preaching type of thing as well. So that's in verse 36. Does the word of God come out from you, or just unto you, see? And that's the case. He came unto us, not from us, as human beings. Who is the source of the words, the Greek words, and I believe also the Old Testament, Hebrew and Aramaic words, of the Scriptures? Who was the source, the main original source of every one of those words?
God.
But which member of the Godhead, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Who is the source?
Well, the Scripture tells us that the Holy Spirit led these men to write those things.
All right. The Holy Spirit, but who is the one that gave the word to the Holy Spirit? See,
the Father.
No, it's not the Father. Whatsoever he shall hear of me, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come.
Yeah, that's the Lord Jesus.
That's right. Not that the Father was not privy of that or not wise enough, but said in Scripture it came from the Son. Yes, the thing.
Do you have an announcement you want to make?
Oh, yeah, thank you. Thursday nights, for many, many years, we had our Bible study at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern, not East, Eastern time. But now we've made a change, and we're going to get that out in most of our announcements. And we made a change to 7 o'clock. So 1 hour earlier, on Thursday night, our Bible study will be at 7 p.m. instead of 8 p.m. So please make a note of that. We have it in partially in our bulletin, but we left it out of one place in the bulletin, and we have to put other places. Pastor Dan's going to put the 7 o'clock service, right, Pastor Dan?
Right, one Thursday.
Thursday night. All right.
Hey, thank you, Dr. Wade.
Yes.
What chapter we're in? 2 Corinthians?
1 Corinthians 14, 36. It came unto us, but not published. But in John chapter 14, he makes it clear that the Lord Jesus will give to the Holy Spirit the New Testament and probably the Old Testament, the words that he wants to put in the Bible. And the Holy Spirit will give those words to the writers of the New Testament, probably the Old Testament. So the source is the Lord Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit unto the writers of the Holy Spirit, whoever they might have been. So you've got to be sure of that. Yeah, we have fun.
Is it because Jesus is the living word?
And maybe, yes, maybe.
Amen.
He's the living word.
He's the living word.
What else? He is the way, the truth
and
the
life.
No man comes unto the Father
but by him.
So by him and his leading, as we got, isn't it?
It's also yesterday, today, and tomorrow is the same.
Yes, yesterday, today, and forever.
Nothing changes.
Right. Nothing changes. That's correct.
Amen.
Questions at bfbbc.org or 856-261-9028. That was 35, wasn't it?
36.
That was 36. And we read 37
here? Yes.
Our verse number 37. Now, what is true of people who think they're prophets in this verse? So are there some people today that think they're prophets?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But maybe not really? If they think they're prophets, what? Or spiritual, what's the truth? What should be done? In verse.
They need to acknowledge what the Scriptures say. If they go and guess it, then they're not. They're false.
Okay. And we acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. So we should never go against the commandments of the Lord. That's right.
It has to line up with this word.
Yes.
If it doesn't line up with this word, then it's not true.
It's not true. It's a terrible thing. Do some churches do things and believe things that are not lined up to this word?
Yes,
a lot of them. I feel very comfortable in our church, the Bible Today Baptist Church here in Collinsville, New Jersey, that we seek to line up everything we believe, everything we practice, and everything we do with the Scriptures. And that's why we have Bible studies, verse by verse, we talk about these things, so I'll be able to be at home with the truth. Commandments of the Lord. Let us read number 38, 39. Oh, yes.
That's what I love about your name. The name of this church says it all. The Bible. for today.
Amen. That, amen.
So you could say the name of the church says it all.
Says it all. We're trying to line up things for today and practice things for today. Now, many churches started 10, 15 years ago, several months, years, centuries, decades ago. Now, the things that they first believed and practiced, do they all believe and practice them today? No, many of them do not. What makes them change when they start out fairly biblical? What makes them change?
Is it the changing of the time?
Okay, Paul?
Aren't they swayed by different, by different doctrines?
Yes, what makes them be changed? Just Antoinette and John. No, and then Linda.
Go ahead.
The world, the flesh, and the devil. What I mean by that is the world. They look at what's going on politically or the world, and then they want to, like, coordinate according to what the world's doing. The flesh, they want to do what they want to do, and the devil is the, is primarily the god of this world, so he's going to infiltrate people's minds that are in pulpits, and, let's please everybody, and then that's how everything gets all messed up.
Linda and John.
They feel like they have to change with the time, keep up with the time.
John?
Yeah, to sum it up in one word, compromise.
Compromise. Now, what about churches that are founded, sound, sane, and sensible for the most part, but all of a sudden they change for soundness, saneness, and sensibility? What makes that change? You said Tammy, and then Antoinette, and John. What makes these things change?
I was going to say the psychology of the world. They bring it into the church.
Right.
I remember going to a church in Collingswood where it started turning. It started out with the Bible, and then they slowly filtrated through psychology, so they could supposedly minister to people's problems instead of knowing that this is the answer to people's problems, not the psychology of the world.
Someone else raised their hand.
Anna,
I'm sorry.
I'm not sure if it's necessarily sudden. It could be gradually happening.
Yes.
But people just don't notice until it's too late.
Bill?
Yeah, if you go back and read the Articles of Faith, which a lot of churches don't post or don't talk about you go back a number of years and read the actual Articles of Faith that the church stood on, it's closer to where we are now, but the social conditions inside in the world, people's modernisms have eroded the Articles of Faith that the people stand for. So little by little, it's been gradual that they've been doing away with everything.
What is the main passage for?
And the Articles of Faith are constant. They don't change unless they're changed by the governing body of the organization. Sadly, they have a Bible-believing church that has solid Articles of Faith, but they don't want to learn them or be taught them or understand them. And so gradually you have the theological drift that takes place. So they keep on getting away from. And the Articles of Faith, there's nothing special about Articles of Faith, but they're based on the Scripture. The Church has to be grounded in the Word of God, and the Articles of Faith are grounded. They have to have, in order to be established, they need to have something to be established by and with, and that's the Articles of Faith. But the Articles of Faith have to be founded based on Scripture. And sometimes, even many times they are, like Bill was saying. You read the Articles of Faith, even if you had some modernistic churches, there is biblical truth in the Articles of Faith.
In what way, good Johnson?
Yeah, I was going to say it. You go back far enough, you'll see most of the denominations are pretty much believe almost the same. That basic doctrines, which we can now call fundamentals, they all held to. But in the latter 1800s, around 1882, I think it was, something like that, there was a Gnostic text that came into vogue. And that kind of started this shift in the thinking of many. And that took over all of our Bible schools and seminaries as the preferred text that they used. And that text is is the credible text we call today. And that has changed, as Pastor Dan mentioned, that theological shift that took place.
Mm-hmm. Now, in the changes that take place in the churches, who usually is the responsible person who makes that change? Bill and John.
The pastor.
The pastor, John.
The pastor, yep.
That's what I was going to say. That's not my
name. My wife and I used to be members and supporters, and I was Bible teachers and Sunday school class, so of what was used to be called Bethel Baptist Church, right there in Cherry Hill. Well, when a pastor came who was not as used to be and wanted to believe some other doctrines, we quietly moved away. I stopped teaching the class, and it was a huge class. That class was probably 80 to 100 in the auditorium. But I just stepped aside because of, let me just pause here. Hi, Rob. What's up?
Hi, Pastor. Hi, everybody.
Hi, Rob.
And John said the thing that Jesus seems to be saying that the Father gave Jesus the words. And if you read in 17, I'll read it for you.
All right.
Standing in 17:6, I manifested thy name unto the man which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. That would be the Father's word. Now they have known all things whatsoever thou hast given me out of thee. And especially here in verse 8, for I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them.
Good. Well, thank you, Rabbi. Thank you, Rabbi Chicago. Now, someone read John 14, another source of the word. Thank you, Dan.
Yeah, I think the pastors have been influenced by the schools.
All right.
And so that's where the word, how come you get the church is looking for somebody, I guess they're looking for their Saul, maybe not, which they turn to the schools for an mm-hmm. answer. Rather than raising up and training their own next generation, they want to go outside the church, bring somebody into the church to be the answer to all the problems that the church has. I mean, ultimately, the people in the pew is that they have responsibility as well. You know, if they don't heed the words of God, if they are not following what God's words are saying, and if they are becoming or if they are conforming to the world themselves. Mm-hmm. And so the idea of, and the schools get the professors, a lot of times, from at least from in the times past, European theology. And so the schools want to have more prestige themselves, and so they send their own faculty members overseas to get better training.
Better in quotes.
Bard, Bolton, and Bruner, and all these wonderful, great minds of Europe, Schleiermacher and Kierkegaard and all these people that are supposed to be these great prominent theologians, virtually neo-Orthodox teachers, they implant this to the faculty members. The faculty members pass of the United States, they go over there and they come over to the United States and then they poison the American students who bring it back to the churches, mm-hmm. who in turn serve it to the congregation.
Mm-hmm. Rob. Very definitely gave some scriptures and verses that supported John's view that it was God the Father that gave the words. I mentioned that it was the Lord Jesus Christ. Does someone have that passage? Can read it to us? Oh, John 14?
John
16. Okay, go ahead, Tammy.
I have yet many things to
what
say.
What verses?
Verse 12 and following.
All right. 16:12.
I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you.
So, both things, I guess, have some scripture verses to them, and John gave the Father as the source of the words, and so did Rob, and we just read the scripture. The Lord Jesus himself is the beginning. Yes, the
John 1:1.
Okay,
great. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Yes.
I mean, so right there.
That could be interpreted.
The Lord right. Jesus Christ.
Right. Anna, and then John, Antoinette, and Pastor Dan.
I never hear them.
No, no. Sorry. Who's the next one? I call. I can't even remember.
Anna
first. Go ahead, Anna.
No, I don't. That's right. Go first. Go ahead. That's fine.
I was just going to say, all these verses collectively kind of like satisfy the Trinity, you know,
yes.
The triune God.
That's right.
For anybody that's out there listening, that maybe Jehovah Witness or Muslim,
right.
This supports the fact that it's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Yes,
word.
Is God is one of the sources of the Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus who gives us the Holy Spirit. So,
There's unity in the Godhead. There's no division.
Amen.
There's no division among this. I mean, look at 2 Peter chapter 1. Knowing this verse in the prophets of Scripture, is any private interpretation. The prophets came not at all time of the will of man, the Holy Man of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's no disagreement we're having among ourselves.
The scriptures shine on the light. What is the name of God? What is one of the names of God? What is he called? He's called the
Triune God.
So you got the unity right there, triune. Three united. There's united in here, Bill.
I'm going to quote Lewis Sperry Schaefer again on this subject.
All right.
And I've quoted this saying before, and I'll do it again. For in the plan of salvation, God the Father is the source, Christ the channel, and the Spirit the agent.
Very good. Mm-hmm. Mr. Schaefer, my teacher for 4 years. Hey, go ahead, Ben.
I was going to say the word Elohim, okay, in the Old Testament, is a plurality.
Mm-hmm.
It is. God, three persons.
That's right.
A lot of people don't want to accept that.
In Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created Elohim.
Yes.
Yes. But yeah, Tammy.
Well, what Bill read shows the order of things.
Yes.
And how God is supreme, and Lord Jesus Christ, in his humanity, surrendered his will to the Father's, and the Holy Spirit, who is by the charismatic movement and Pentecostals, he's glorified.
Mm-hmm.
Over the Father or the Son, it
yes.
should demonstrate the error of that.
Yes,
because he always diverts attention from himself, the Holy Spirit.
Tammy, were you once a Pentecostal? I remember.
No,
you're right up into it, son. Okay.
I'm a Catholic.
We look at the Shema in Deuteronomy chapter 6.
Shema meaning
but 4.
Right.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. It doesn't really show necessarily in the English so much, but if you look at the Hebrew, it deals with the triune God
is
one.
Right,
just a comment. Funny that the Jehovah's Witnesses, because they would say it was God's, the Holy Spirit is God's force, so that's probably where they got
that
error
from. That's what?
God's, his force.
Force.
That's probably where they got that.
Let me tell you about the debacle of a church that my wife and I attended many years ago, part of the Sunday school, it was fine. It's called, it's still on the St. Cherry Hill address, it's called Bethel Baptist Church. Now, they've got such a change because of the pastors and deacons and all the other people. Bethel is the only thing that's there. Baptist is gone, church is gone. Not even a church anymore, not even a Baptist church. So that shows you how pastors come. And the whole thing changes. What's it then?
Bethel Worship Center.
Good thing. Bethel Worship Center. Nothing about Baptist, nothing about church. It's horrible. Anna then John.
You said Anna then John.
Anna then John. Go ahead, Anna.
They may have stopped referring to themselves as a church, but if there's still a body of believers that are meeting there, then they are still a church. Regardless of whether or not they call themselves a church. There was once a time when we were neglecting to call ourselves a church, we were calling ourselves a fellowship.
We?
Yeah, you have it right here.
Well, it says right there, church. Why did they write the word church here?
Well, because we're afraid of the township.
Question that church. Why did they question it? Why did they say you can't be that?
Oh, I'm going to guess because you're a regular home.
Oh, that's kind of important. What's the reason they gave? What's the reason?
That's the reason they gave.
I don't know.
That's why there was some zoning.
Ordinance, the particulars
of the zoning and anyway.
Do you remember that?
Well, I don't remember what the intro that was, but I had something else.
Okay, we'll cover that later. Go ahead.
Which I forgot. I remember now.
Okay, that's a quick memory.
I lost it again.
Lost it again. That's interesting. Yeah, answer that.
I'd like to find out the zoning law, because there's a stone's throw to the church right across the street.
Yes, yes.
Come on.
I
think Pastor Dan has the story.
Good, Pastor Dan.
I think there was some disagreement that people were having with the nursery school.
That was part of it. What else? One of the main ones is parking. Your church is it's the park. You don't have any place to park, so why are you...
Well, because there was... I mean, it gets very frustrating with all the going on sometimes across the street and the parking situation.
Yes.
Because they take the whole block.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And so then they came at you with parking too.
Exactly. This,
I remember what it was about why so many churches dropped the title Baptist in their names.
Uh-huh.
Historically, they've viewed Baptists as holding the truth of the gospel, even though the denominations are straight, and then stay to those fundamentals that we see all through history. Don't away from that, and they want to get away from that because of ecumenicalism, and they call us the legalists now.
Mm-hmm. So let me finish the story that I know about a church being blackballed by the city of Collingswood. We had the situation whereby I was called into the offices in the city council, wherever it is, and the lady, she grilled me over and said, well, why have you called yourself a church? You have no places to park, you have all these things. So whenever she scoured me and knocked me apart, I said, okay, we'll take off the name church, and then I put that right on there, Bible for Today Baptist. Now, Bible for Today Baptist Church. Why did I bring it back? Because when I went in to pay my taxes one day, I just whizzed by the lawyer of the city. And he's one of the ones that grilled me before and found out I had a place to park. And he said, hi, Pastor Wade, how are you? I said, well, it's fine. How's your church coming? I said, wait a minute. He's the one that didn't want it. I was asking, how's it coming? As soon as I went out of that office, I put the church back on the sign, Bible Red Baptist Church, that faith.
Was he mocking you?
No.
Yeah?
He was honest.
Good. He recognized.
Recognized.
Oh, okay.
And that went after
I just want to give glory to God that there's a lawyer who changed his heart and mind.
Yes, that's a great thing. That's a great thing. Now, someone else had to catch that. I remember repeating the old thing. Go ahead, please.
It's the people of the congregation that are going behind and changing the name. They're agreeing to the name change, dropping it.
Yes.
Baptist, strapping church, whatever different words are coming into it.
A lot of members.
And sadly, it's the Bible-believing churches, or the once Bible-believing churches, that they still believe the Bible, but they believe it perhaps not as they once believed, as dropping the names.
Mm-hmm.
The modernistic Baptist churches, they had to drop the name Baptist, they had to drop the name church.
Mm-hmm. Southern Baptist Seminary.
ABC, there's an ABC church right here in
town. Right, yeah.
He's retaining the name Baptist, retaining the name church.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, they may not believe any of their doctrinal statements, mm-hmm. but still they have the name.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Anna.
Now, when did we get into the habit of naming our churches? Because and here in 1 Corinthians 1, it just says, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, or in other passages, we mm-hmm. have in Romans, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. So do we know when and why we started to have names for different churches?
I don't know when, but there's a lot of them. The Plymouth mm-hmm. Brethren, don't even use the word church, it's Plymouth Brethren. And you got Roman Catholic Church, because that was 3 years ago, back to the book. And now
not really a church.
No, not really a church. In fact, the present Pope is willing to cooperate with the ISIS Muslim killers.
Oh,
and they say, let's go together, Catholics and Muslims. What do they call it? There's some kind of Chrislam from the Islamic terrorists and the Christians. See, he's a horrible Pope. Yeah, we don't agree with any of his doctors, anyway, but what kind of a nut is he? He's a crackpot. He should never be a Pope, even. Go ahead, Faith.
What was that pastor's name?
What was the pastor's name?
Yeah, there was a pastor.
Uh-oh.
Somebody
else gave me this book, and the pastor is supposed to be a good evangelical pastor.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, he went in with Muslims, and I didn't understand why. Rick Warren.
Oh, yes.
He started with that. Yep.
Yeah, because the day Obama was, sworn in,
mm-hmm.
we were all watching it, my whole family, and this Pastor Rick Warren, Obama, you know how they always had Billy Graham or Franklin Graham?
Yeah. And,
well, not Obama. He had this Rick Warren, which I was shocked that he had, right? And all of a sudden, Rick Warren said, and we know it wasn't Christ, but it was a word like that.
What?
It wasn't. He didn't say the word Christ.
Allah.
No.
Yahshua HaMashiach.
Yahshua HaMashiach or something
Yeshua
like that.
Yeshua HaMashiach
has come, and he said, and he's for Allah and all that. And I'm thinking, what is going on here? Am I hearing things? What is this man saying?
Right.
Then I found out he was involved with that Chrislam, and he believes everybody should go together, Christians and Muslims. I couldn't believe it because when I read his book, it was wonderful.
This
was fraught with errors all through it.
The book I read, I thought was wonderful 2 years before that. So I was totally stunned when I read it.
What was the name of that book?
Rick
Warren. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
it was
Rick Warren.
It was
Rick Warren.
Yeah, that's Rick Warren. I was going to say, I'm going to use a Jewish word. This is all Meshuggah, which means crazy, because if you open up a Quran, it says it right there in the beginning of the chapters that if you're truly Islamic, you know, Muslim, don't have anything to do with Christians, don't have anything to do with Jews, that they're infidels. So obviously these people aren't even reading the Quran or knowing or understanding that religion. It's crazy.
Well, some have pointed out that they disputed the title that was chosen where it says purpose-driven life because they say that you drive goats, but sheep are led. And mm-hmm. this is harkens back to some discussion this morning that we were having after the service about how the Lord Jesus Christ was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. But evidently, some modern versions have it as driven, which is completely inaccurate. It's a completely different sense. So driven versus led. Anyway.
I don't know about Rick Warren and this Islamic, with the Muslims, but I know there's a lot of doctrines that he disputes that are scriptural doctrines. He's not truly a good Christian man to follow.
He is an apostate.
Probably, that's a good word for it. Why is he called an apostate, do you think?
Because he has rejected the faith once delivered to the saints. Mm-hmm. He's rejected all the fundamentals of the faith. He's turned his back on it.
Mm-hmm.
He'll use the name Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. He'll use various terminology, mm-hmm. But he is such a compromiser that he is apostate.
So it's not something strange to you that he's joined in with this one.
No,
goes
back to the
90s. I guess it's Linda, and then maybe Bill, and then Anna. I guess. Go ahead, Linda.
I heard that the Muslims, I know some people are Muslim, they say they believe in Jesus, but they don't call him the Messiah. They call him the prophet.
Yeah.
Right. Was it Anna?
I think Rick Warren was into the New Age movement. I remember seeing that quite a while ago. He sort of led in a lot of that movement amongst a lot of those types of churches. So.
Yeah, yeah. Now, who's after that? Bill and then Edward.
Rick Warren, I read his book some years ago, just before I started coming here, and he causes confusion. He believes in all of the modern versions of the Bible. He downplays the King James Bible and its value, and he praises modern versions of the Bible, and he likes all of them. He believes that you can quote one verse from one Bible, another verse from another Bible. You can mix them. And that's the way a lot of the pastors do it today.
Yep.
They'll quote one verse from the New American Standard and then another verse from the ESV and whatever. It's confusion. That he's part of that confusion. And he's also part of the this Chrislam that's going around for reasons you've already said. And it's because of the confusion that makes that possible.
Good. Mr. John?
Yeah, I have a, you know, talking about Rick Warren and this book, he uses up towards, I forget the exact number, approximately 50 different translations in his book. He picks and chooses the translation that best fits what he believes or what he wants it to say for that particular purpose.
Yes, interesting. Yeah, Bill, and then Faith.
Yeah, the reason he does a lot of these pastors quote from various Bibles is because their own words. I like the way this verse sounds in this translation, or I like the way that verse sounds in that translation. It's entirely personal on their part to embellish the Word of God. They should be dedicated to trying to interpret to quote the Word of God, and they should make every effort possible to be sure that what they're quoting is correct, but they don't. It's what they like.
Before I answer your question, Faith, do all these translations translate the same Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words?
No.
No. Why? Do they not?
They use a different Greek word.
Different Greek words. Anna?
Because Satan is at his... He has the same tricks, yea, hath God said.
Yes.
And so there was in the early around, I guess maybe the first century, so there were the faithful Christians who would copy out the Word of God, but then there were also some Gnostics who would copy out the Word of God, but as they were copying it out, they were changing it, and they were leaving things out that were... that pointed to the deity of Christ.
And their texts didn't even have in it. That's one reason, isn't it?
Right. And so these Gnostics, these heretics, they were, it was satanic. Satanic influence that led them to leave out the words of God. And now today we've found, the different people have found some of these Gnostic copies, and the paper that they're on is older, perhaps, than the paper that the correct autographs, the correct copies have been written
on. Alleged older, but...
No. The paper is older, at least, there's some arguments that perhaps it's not, but the idea, if the paper is older, it's because it hasn't been used. Right. When you use something a lot because you love it and you trust it, then you have to make more copies of it.
But let me just point this out. The two Vatican and Sinai manuscripts were originally said to be way, way old, 3rd century, something like that. But it was proved by two different books, very excellent. First of the Sinai manuscript is not 3rd century. It's way back in the 7th century, the 1800s or 1600s, way, way later, 1800s, I guess. 19th century.
Right.
And so that's false. And I hope to prove pretty soon that the Vatican might sure be the same. Now, I've said all that, but Faith was next, and then Linda. and then Antoinette, right?
Yeah, I just remembered.
That's what I heard from my faith very often, so right. Be sure she has.
I guess I'm just in that mood.
Okay.
Amen.
But I just remember he didn't say Al on that day, Rick Warren, at Obama's, you know, inauguration.
Yeah.
I just remember. No, because what threw me was he said Isla. It was Isla, he said. And he said Isla. He said Isla. Isla meant Jesus, and I'm thinking.
Who's Isla? I don't
know. Well, that's Isla. Just it, because Isla. I know. He said Isla.
Instead of Allah.
Yeah, oh. He said Isla, like it was I-L-A or something.
He didn't even know Latin.
But I remember thinking, and he's saying he meant Jesus, and I'm thinking, I don't recall anywhere in the Bible Jesus being called Isla.
Yes.
Since he said something out of whack there.
Yeah. Fine. Okay, now let's see. Antoinette and Linda was first in Antoinette. Go ahead, Linda.
I heard that there's a third testament. In the Bible, I heard of this on Trinity Channel.
Well, what they mainly refer to is what's that other thing they call it?
The Apocrypha.
They have a number of 13 or 14 other books.
I just wanted to say that I've talked to
Muslims. Linda, did you go yet?
Yeah, I'm done. Yeah.
Oh, you're done, okay.
I was just going to say that I've talked to Muslims, and one of their arguments is, we have one Quran. How many Bibles you have? We have one Quran. How many Bibles you have? So they don't even like the idea that's something derogatory. Like, why do we have all these different Bibles? They have one Quran.
We don't like all the diversity. We should stick to one.
Exactly. We should have one.
That's good. Okay, Linda.
They said, well, because of all the different Christian religions, they all believe in certain ways of the Bible.
Yeah.
Is that true?
Well, there may be certain ways, I suppose. Not that they're all correct. Only one is correct.
Yeah, well, sorry, Hannah. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. I thought it was saying.
Like they emphasize different things. Like,
right.
Okay, Hannah.
It goes back to what I was saying before about the Satan's oldest trick. He keeps using it because it keeps working, sadly. Whereas Yeti Hack God said, he twists the words of God. And so when the New Testament was being written, and then as it was being faithfully copied out, so in the original, the autographs, which is like what it was, the actual first writing of it, mm-hmm. I was inspired, and it was verbal plenary inspiration, so it was like word for word and completely mm-hmm. inspired, breathed out by God. And then the apographs, they were preserved, every word and the whole thing. So God made, like heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away, not one jot, not one tittle. So God saw to it that it was all faithfully copied out, and we call the copies apographs.
Apographs.
And however, Satan, his old trick, yes, God said, there were the Gnostics who did not believe that Jesus and Christ were the same person. They separated the humanity from mm-hmm. his deity, which is false and heretical, mm-hmm. and and they had other heresies as well. But so they twisted the words of God as they were copying it out. So those copies that they made, that's a twisting. So we don't want a copy from that,
mm-hmm.
but some people in about the 1800s or so found some of these twisted copies,
mm-hmm.
which had been, depending, they were either thrown on the shelf mm-hmm. and getting dust, or they were being in a rubbish pile, according to some theories that are coming out now, perhaps even. They're not as these copies were made even more recently than what was being argued. But so Satan's old tricks are what have led to all these modern versions that are so much different. And so it's a result of Satan trying to wrest the scriptures.
Right. The Gnostics of Alexandria, Egypt, were the source of the Vatican Sinai different texts and false texts. And yes, that's them.
Two things. The followers of Muhammad, they only accept the Quran in its original language. And furthermore, they put Muhammad and Jesus Christ at the same level. Mm-hmm. Secondly, I think going to Linda's comment, there was some teaching or doctor thinking going back several years back mm-hmm. that the Lord Jesus Christ, during some time in his ministry, I'm not sure what point he came to America to speak to the Native Americans. Mm-hmm. And those words may be references to the third testament. I'm not sure if that's what they're talking about or not, what Linda's thinking of.
Mm-hmm. Question.
That's the false doctrine that never happened, I don't believe.
Right.
But that's what people have said. And
right. Questions at dftbc.org, 856-261-9018. Give us a call or comment. Glad to hear from you. Are there many churches that you know of that allow discussions such as we have here every single Sunday afternoon? Every single Thursday. Are there many churches like that that let people that are sitting there speak up?
No.
Not very many. No. I think that's not true.
I have two questions for Pastor Dan. What is this language that they said, the Muslims said, that, what you were just saying?
Arabic.
Oh, Arabic. They only accept Arabic. It's written in Arabic. No other translation.
The other question.
No, they don't recognize translations as.
This view about Jesus coming over here to North America, isn't that the Mormons think that? Aren't they the ones that started
that? Maybe that's the Third Testament.
Yeah, I thought I heard that, yes.
So maybe that's the Third Testament.
Okay, yeah.
Does that sound right, Linda? Did that come from the Mormonism, the Third Testament?
No, it didn't say anything about any. There's other Christian faiths.
No.
Mormons.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about them.
All right,
dangerous.
Tell us the verse we're on. Tell us the verse we're on for our discussion topic.
Sorry, 7.
All right, 1 Corinthians 14:37. Okay. Any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, having knowledge, the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. Any other comments on that verse before we read the next verse later or not?
We announced about the Thursday to change the Thursday meeting.
Yeah.
Thursday from 8:00 to 7:00. I have to change something in the bulletin. Pastor Dan's going to change something other, and also going to put on the internet a special announcement of our Thursday meeting. I can remember to do that. Pastor Dan will remember to do that too. Any other comments on that question or a question? Did we read the next verse yet?
We read the rest of the chapter, I think.
No,
we read 37.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Let's read 38, 39, and 40 together.
Okay.
Let
any man be ignorant. Let him be ignorant. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, and forbid not to speak with tongues, let all things be done decently and in order.
That's an interesting verse, is it not? On verse 38. What is ignorance? Any hands on that?
Lacking knowledge of it.
Lacking knowledge of it. Ig is not, and darn it, good darn it, is not. So no knowledge. And does those that are ignorant, do they admit they're ignorant?
No.
That's our 1 hour call. We'll stop the public. If you have some other things to add, we'll let you add them. Anything else you'd like to say? Yeah, Tammy.
Since we brought up the Pope, this Chrysalon is not the first of his ecumenism. He is he's basically the head of the United Religions of the world. Mm-hmm. That's why I mentioned about the pantheism and the New Age mm-hmm. movement. Mm-hmm. So, in fact, there's this book, Deceived on Purpose, The New Age Implications for the Purpose-Driven Church, mm-hmm. in case anyone's interested.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know anything about the book, but I've seen other things that I know that Rick Warren is involved in New Age,
mm-hmm.
and I know he's very much for the Pope. Mm-hmm. Aside from that, I mean, Satan is using the Pope mm-hmm. as an instrument to unite all the world under a false religion.
Tammy, you said not just this present Pope, but many of the popes. Is that what many of the popes?
I wasn't necessarily saying Pope Francis. I was just saying popes in general. But we were talking about chrislam, but yes. aside from chrislam, this has always been the work of the Pope. He's always been wanting to unite all the religions. Mm-hmm. In fact, they haven't united. They had, I think, in the 70s, a United Religions Initiative in California or something. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so they've been trying to do this for, and even back in the 1800s, mm-hmm. they've been trying to unite, you know, all the religions of the world. So, you know, the fact that it's now with, you know, Islam, mm-hmm. it's just, it's not any surprise at all.
So. Then.
So back in the either late 80s or 90s, they had evangelicals and Catholics together.
Yes.
You know, which yep. is a kind of uniting mm-hmm. attempt to unite some evangelicals and some Catholics. I mean, there was, surprisingly, there were some of the evangelicals who were opposed to it.
Mm-hmm.
Not all of them, but some of them were.
There's some groups and churches believe the Bible and are sound in Christian faith, and others that are not believing in the Bible and not sound in Christian faith. Should these two groups be united according to the Scriptures?
No.
No. Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Any other comments before we close?
I feel like
yes.
I feel like Satan's winning in the world.
He's surely on
no,
top of the line.
Yeah, but I mean, the way it's going, it's like,
yeah.
He's the God of this world.
The God of this world, that's one of his signs.
But he's evil and he's dangerous.
Yes.
But I believe that people are turning to Satan. Is the Muslims, is that a cult? Is that the devil?
I guess, yes, it seems to me it's the devil.
False religion.
False religion, whatever.
Yeah.
Those women had to wear that thing.
Yeah.
I was in the mosque once.
Is that right?
Yes.
They have the women and the men separated, right?
No, it was, I was looking for a job, and I thought it was a job. Thought it was a company.
Can a hat you wear make you a Christian?
No.
As Catholics, when we were growing up, we had to wear a hat or a belt in our hair.
Always.
Women, but not anymore.
You said a bow?
A bow. You know, like a,
something in your
like
hair.
A, I don't remember that.
We had beanies
it was
down
a little,
the street.
It was a little more freewheeling when I was growing up, I guess.
No.
I didn't have that.
Linda, may I ask you a question?
No, go.
Would your Catholics and your Catholic Church, your Roman Catholic Church, be very thankful for you to attend our services? Or not?
I don't. Some might. I don't think they would like it.
Okay. I don't want to embarrass you, but I'm glad you're coming. I'm glad you're with us. Thank you very much for coming.
You're welcome.
Who's next? Dr. Danza wants to hand in front of
you. Definitely not for Vatican I. God, Vatican II. For Genesis 3:13. I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel.
John?
Bruise his head.
Yeah.
No, bruise his heel. Satan's head's going to be bruised. He's going to be crushed.
Right.
So, it's not completed yet.
Mm-hmm. Jainism?
Islam is absolutely, definitely a cult. They deny Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world. They deny his deity, that makes them a cult, and they do not equate Jesus Christ as a prophet and Muhammad as a prophet being totally equal. Muhammad is always above them.
Always above them. Any other comments or questions? Dr. Adams, you close in order for purpose.
Father, we thank you for thy word, thank you for thy risen Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who